I'm pessimistic overall, but I wouldn't rule out the possibility that there can be some negotiation. I think the difficulty is the Sudanese government has come down so hard by expelling the organizations. What's the face-saving solution here? Is it we withdraw or suspend the indictment? You know, the U.S. especially has been very strong on the idea that, no, the Security Council should not suspend the indictment for a year. So I think the difficulty right now is, having taken the firm, draconian step that they've taken, how do they walk back? It's difficult to see how they're going to do that. Yet I don't think the Sudanese government really fully understands the impact of this decision, and I'm not willing to say that the Sudanese government cares nothing about the people of Darfur. They need the humanitarian operation to function somewhat effectively, and they may realize that this decision ultimately is counterproductive.
Do we have an idea of the dimensions or scale of this potential tragedy? How many displaced civilians in Darfur will be deprived of NGO services?
Well, the estimate right now is that over 1 million to 1.2 million people will be affected. And just looking at the scale of the programs of the 16 organizations involved, the impact will be substantial.
How fast is the exodus proceeding?
Well, the organizations are basically trying to contest it, and it varies from organization to organization. I mean, they're under a lot of pressure. I've read that the government is going into offices and harassing staff, but the organizations collectively are looking for UN support, and then individually are trying to say to the Sudanese government, look, we had nothing to do with the ICC decision. We're providing humanitarian assistance. That's been our main role in Darfur, and basically trying to convince the Sudanese government to go back on the decision if they possibly can.
What are some of the precedents of expulsion of foreigners from a country? Idi Amin kicking out the Asians, I guess, is one example. President Nasser of Egypt throwing out the UN from the Sinai. Can you think of any others?
So my core experience is in Asia, and I think immediately of the Khmer Rouge expelling the entire international community in April 1975 when they defeated the Lon Nol government in Cambodia. The North Koreans at various times have made life very difficult for non-governmental organizations there. I don't think they ever kicked out any organization, but conditions were so difficult that organizations chose to withdraw. A few organizations made a similar decision in Ethiopia at the time of the Ethiopia famine, feeling that working conditions there were untenable. But the best analogy was the one taken by the Khmer Rouge in April 75 in Cambodia.
And what are the consequences of such an expulsion order?
Well, it's just, for better or for worse, when a country's in a difficult situation facing some kind of humanitarian emergency, or, you know, they can't meet the basic needs of the population, they have created a structure in the case of Darfur where the humanitarian agencies are delivering essential services, basic medical services, providing water and sanitation, in some cases doing emergency feeding for malnourished children. These are essential services to the health and survival of the population. So naturally, expelling these organizations has a devastating impact. Now, I can't sit here right now and say X number of people are going to die because of this decision, but we anticipate that the consequences will be very negative for about 1 million people in Darfur.
Now, your organization is also talking about a possible impact of this order on implementation of the Comprehensive Peace Agreement for Southern Sudan. How will this expulsion of aid groups impact on the Southern Front?
Well, it's just the whole relationship between the international community and the government of Sudan becomes rocky by definition. And, you know, the international community, first and foremost, the United States, played a critical role in nurturing that peace agreement, and now are trying to support it, make sure the two parties, the North and the South, are continuing to bargain in good faith. And, you know, there's a risk here that Bashir will take this Darfur decision and say, I can't have any productive or positive dealings with the entire international community, with the United Nations, with the United States, with the European Union. And I think that adds a further complication to effectively implementing the Comprehensive Peace Agreement. The North and the South, of course, can continue to negotiate as Sudanese parties, but international involvement has been constructive in the past, and if that's not part of the equation, it could jeopardize the implementation of the agreement.
A lot of the groups in the United States that have generated this activism for saving Darfur have received a lot of responses from political leaders in the United States, and especially so during the U.S. presidential campaign. Has President Obama shown any U.S. diplomatic response to this expulsion order so far?
Well, the State Department made a statement that was actually, I think, under the circumstances, rather tepid. They, of course, used standard diplomatic language of deploring and hoping that it would be reversed and so on. I think the real question that's unanswered, which of course you don't answer in an official statement at a State Department briefing, is what now? Are we going to up the ante? You could say, on the one hand, we need to immediately find a back channel way to talk to Bashir to see if we can, again, walk back this decision. Another direction to go would be to say, okay, Bashir has been indicted. We think it's important that the whole process go through, and maybe we need to squeeze the Sudanese even further. And there was no question that in the presidential campaign, it was obvious that Barack Obama had leading people on his foreign policy team who had been talking very tough about Darfur for a long time. Susan Rice, now the UN ambassador, being the first person I think of in that regard. So I'm sure Bashir was thinking, once Obama was elected, that I may be facing a rocky time with the new administration, and this decision isn't going to help matters.
Do we have any further action on appeals to the Obama administration to appoint a special representative to negotiate peace in Sudan and renew the Comprehensive Peace Agreement?
I believe the actor George Clooney has actually claimed that Obama made a personal commitment to him that such an appointment was in the offing. I haven't heard anything since that statement by Clooney, so I don't know if we're going to have an appointment in the next 2 days or in the next 2 months. It's hard to say. I think the indictment and the latest developments, I think, underscore the need for some kind of high-level diplomatic action just to get this whole thing back on track. I mean, we're now in year six of the catastrophe in Darfur, and I think it's discouraging to all of us that so little progress has been made politically. I mean, the one thing that was semi-working was the humanitarian operation, and now even that's in jeopardy. So for those of us who've been working on this issue for a long time, it's a pretty bleak outlook at the moment.
Sudan's government did announce the release of prominent opposition leader Hassan al-Turabi, though, in the past couple of days. Do you think that might be a little bit of a concession by the Bashir government to try to soften the severity of the expulsion order?
I don't think so. I don't read it that way. And again, I'm hardly an expert on internal Sudanese politics, but that from the outside could also be interpreted as Bashir and the people at the top trying to consolidate northern Sudanese unity. So let's release Turabi, let's make a gesture to him, and maybe he'll support us in this struggle that we're now engaged in with the international community. Now, in his initial statements, from what I saw, it didn't sound like he was willing to play that game. I mean, I believe he actually said something to the effect that he either didn't have a problem with the indictment or was certainly not openly condemning it. But I think it's not so much a gesture to the international community as something that relates to the need for unity in internal Sudanese politics.